We welcome to the program Ken Good. Ken is a bail attorney in Texas. He's a board member of the Professional Bondsman of Texas. And Ken, welcome to Pratt on Texas. Before we get going on this, I've been covering the bail reform issue for many, many years. Some of my friends worked in the Right on Crime Initiative at the Texas Public Policy Foundation and other places. And look, there was a need to reform bail bonds in a certain way, mainly because there were some costs to taxpayers and things that holding people in jail, laying out stuff that's it's just ridiculous. But it's like everything else. When you give the left a micromillimeter, and I told these guys that years ago, when you give a micromillimeter, they take 10 kilometers. You know, if you give them a 10,000th of an inch, they're going to take 10 miles. And that's exactly what they've done. They've swept this into place in Harris County because they already had some problems there, and they used a lawsuit and stuff as justification to do so. Other counties in Texas have implemented, you know, various things. They've got things on the drawing board, Bexar County, Dallas County, you name it. But what's happened is, I've talked about this several times, but people are starting to see the results of it as they watch the media riots at night, and are hearing about how, well, they arrested 600 people in D.C. and they're all out of, you know, all but seven of them are back on the streets the next day. We've seen tons of this in New York because they've implemented in New York City these, so-called bail reforms. Ken Good, would you explain to people what these so-called reforms are in a practical sense, and what you think about them and where they've led?
Well, I think a lot of what you said is it just hit the head right on the nail. You know, these reforms, you know, if you've been following it like you say you have, then you know how we've gone from right on crime to risk assessments or the panacea. They can solve all our problems. To now, we can't use risk assessments. To now, what our friends on the left are proposing is that anyone who's arrested and charged with a crime should just be released while they're waiting to have their charges resolved. And why we're seeing that as just a complete abject failure everywhere is because if they are released and they have no consequences for one arrest, when they're like, well, hey, maybe I'll have no consequences with my second. And then you have stories where somebody in California is arrested 139 times. It's well over that. And they're just, or other stories where they're mocking or taunting the police on Facebook because they just got released. And the problem with that, the reason why this is such a bad problem is all consequences or all accountability is taken out of the system. And these people don't even think they have to show up for court. And so how do you get their cases ever resolved?
That's the root of it. You know, they're leftists who make a point, and philosophically they're right. Bail is not supposed to be a punishment. You're not convicted of anything at the time you're arrested. However, bail is a surety. You put up a bond that it has to be consequential enough for the individual, and it's usually based on their record and their flight risk. You know, we've all heard in big cases about somebody, you know, well, they've got passports and money and we're going to revoke bail because it looks like they were going to flee the country or flee the jurisdiction. Bail involves every kind of thing you can be arrested for. And you need to have enough bail to ensure, and even if that means grandma had to, you know, put up her credit to a bondsman to get, you know, the bail paid, where usually these people are only putting up 10% or so, and then a bondsman is, bail bonds are like the easiest bank in the world. It's amazing how your business works, because people who are already in trouble with the cops have access to credit. And it's a very good system that's grown up way back before we were a country through Britain and into this country. And it's a very good system. It saves taxpayers a hell of a lot of money too, because you put, you know, you got a guy that got a little burglary arrest and he puts up a few $100, but the bond's several thousand. Well, now all of a sudden the bondsman, when he doesn't show up for one of these preliminary hearings, a court hearing, you've got somebody in the private sector willing to spend their own money to go find the guy. And they tend to be better at it than the cops because that's what they do all the time. And in writing the bail bond, you usually get so much information on the person and the people putting up bond that it aids us in every way possible. And like you said, it ensures they show up for court. But they've gone so far now as to say, well, everybody just basically, even if they've got a long arrest record, well, but all you did this time was this small crime, small to, you know, to the judge, not to the victim. So we'll just let them out on a personal recognizance bond, meaning they just, it's exactly the same thing, Ken, as the catch and release policy with illegal immigration, where they just get a piece of paper and they say, yeah, I'll show up to court sometime in the future. That's it. And they're gone.
Well, it's even worse than that, because in Harris County, as long as it's certain crimes, like no matter what their criminal history is, they don't ever even see a magistrate. They just, they arbitrarily set their bond at $100. They never see a magistrate, and they get signed a piece of paper because they're not even putting up $100, and they're just released. No matter what the criminal record is.
And that's what I meant by, you know, giving them an inch and they take a mile. It started out as this idea that, well, you know, it is kind of silly. Somebody got arrested for jaywalking and they're a street person, you know, a bum, and they don't have any money. So they end up costing the taxpayers so many hundred a day or whatever the hell it is, $80, $100 a day to keep them in jail. They sit there for a week or two. Because they couldn't pay the bond. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. I don't think jaywalking's the right thing because that's Class C. But nevertheless, there was some thought that we need to look at some of this a little bit more carefully and be a little more careful. But that's something a magistrate or a judge should be looking at on the case-by-case basis. They've turned this into, hey, sign the paper and go. And it's extraordinarily dangerous.
Well, and it's because they want to take away the discretion. I mean, really, if you think about it, they want to swing, and they are swinging the pendulum, not just to the middle. They're swinging it all the way to the opposite extreme, to the absolute opposite of where whatever they thought that we were doing. They were thinking, well, judges had too much discretion, and now we're taking away all of their discretion. And instead of requiring surety bonds for everybody, as they were arguing, which was never true, they're now wanting to just grant everybody a peer bond or just release them like in New York.
Right. And what we need to people need to understand is we're not, nobody's arguing that the bond is, I mean, there may be somebody, but we're not arguing that the bond is a punishment before you've been convicted. The point is, let's just use the street vernacular. I think Obama used that phrase a lot. You got to have skin in the game. In other words, that defendant, the person who's been arrested, needs to have a financial consequence or oftentimes their family, so that, you know, they know where they are and where they're hiding out, needs to have a financial consequence great enough to ensure that they're going to actually, if we're not going to hold them in jail as a flat risk, that they're going to actually show up for all the hearings that you go through in the judicial process, and ultimately, of course, if it goes that far, to trial. Now, one of the great things about the bond system is that it saves taxpayers a massive amount of money. The cops don't have time to chase all these people down all the time, just the standard bail. But, you know, if a bail bondsman's on the hook for that $10,000 bond, and he's going to have to pay $9,000 of it if that guy doesn't show up to court, you've got an incentive for people out in the private sector where it's not costing the taxpayers a dime to go find these people and get them to court. And getting them to court is ensuring due process. It's not interfering with due process. It is ensuring due process. These PR bonds, these personal recognizance bonds are $100 and sign the paper and go. There's nothing. It's taking away one of the most important parts of the system that makes sure that due process works in this country. And Harris County's been an awful example.
You're exactly right there. I mean, and anytime you fail to miss court, you do great injury to the criminal justice system because the case has to be put on hold until you come back into the system. And like you said, nobody has time to go find them when it's on a PR bond or pinky promise. And so they have to commit a new crime to come into the system, or they have to voluntarily come back. We are seeing the consequences of that. Before the COVID-19 crisis, in just a year since these left judges were elected, the dockets, the pending numbers of pending cases in each of these misdemeanor courts have doubled, and I'm sure it's doubled again since the COVID-19 crisis. And so you're seeing, you know, courts cannot function if every year their docket grows by 100%.
It will crumble. And the victims get no due process. See, the victims get no ability to see the justice system play out either. And yet the left is pushing this to that radical end. And it's not, you know, it's not us talking about it. It's really happening. And it's not just in New York City or Washington, D.C. It's right here in the state of Texas, in fact, in our most populous county. What do we need to do about this, Ken?
Well, I think we all need to be active, and we need to be talking to our legislators. And, you know, like, we can go to our pbtx.com website and look and keep up with the most recent news in the bail area. But, I we need to find what common ground we have. But these people are militant. It's either our way or the highway. You can see that in D.C., I mean, in Harris County right now.
Right.
We want our reforms across the state, or we're going to sue. Well, the governor and the attorney general stood up to these people in a lawsuit in Harris County when the county would not even oppose their motion to order the county to release half the people in the jail. And the governor and the attorney general won. And so the lesson is you got to stand up to these people because they're not going to compromise.
Well,
they're not
going to
give in. So you got to go beat them.
It's a feature entree coming up on the dinner plate of the next legislative session. So if you don't want this stuff to continue and be brought into your county and all over Texas and to be victimized by this stuff, and that's what it ultimately leads to is more people being victimized by criminals, you need...
Well, it even hurts these defendants because they say, hey, there's no consequences, so they commit more crime, and then they end up getting more severe charges when they... Then it's a felony.
Right.
Or what we're seeing in Harris County, the DA is and the sheriff are so frustrated, or the law enforcement is so frustrated, they're calling in the feds, and the feds are now looking at individual cases to file federal cases, which carry much more severe punishments. And so the activists are actually hurting the very people they claim they're helping.
Well, and that's always true. That's the way these things always work out. The minor offenses are where you need to interdict people first so that they get a real reminder of the consequences, and the few who choose can make different decisions in their life. When you take that early consequence away, you just lead them into a pattern of behavior, and it's terrible. It will be a big item in the next legislative session, and you need to talk to your legislators, your state reps and senators about it. Bail reform. Give us that website again to follow the issue.
Sure, pbtx.com, the Professional Bondsman of Texas. We have a blog there and a news feed where we keep track of the news, bail-related news across the country, and we update it multiple times a day. And or you can go to texasbailnews.com, and all that is our bail news feed, which is our top 25 stories from our blog on a rotating basis.
Very good. Ken, good. Thanks a lot for what you're doing on this. We'll be sure in the legislative session to be pushing the issue heavily as well.